My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so happy to be with you again this week, and I hope that this episode finds you well. I am recording after an almost 2-week break. We'll see when this episode comes out. But the thing happens that usually happens whenever it is time for me to record an episode, and what I think I'm going to talk about just isn't coming, or the inspiration I usually have is not there, where it is time for me to share with my audience a personal update. And I did not want to share the personal update as of yet, based on what you can see in the title, because I was like, this will probably be kind of jarring. And I want to make sure that I am speaking with what I know to be true and what I know to be actually happening so that I do not alarm everyone. But this is it. So it's either record today's episode or be gone for a longer period of time. So for anyone who's keeping up with the podcast every week, you've seen the break. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about me quitting. Yes, this is going to affect Black Girls Heal. I do believe that it's going to be for the better, but in today's episode, I'm going to share what this means, why I'm quitting, what I'm quitting, what things are going to be changing here, and also the part of the story, the part of the why that I'm quitting that I think is going to be helpful for some other people who need it right now, either to reinforce a decision that you've already made or to help you get clarity on your next steps and decisions. As always, I hope that everything that I share here, especially if it's around my own personal journey and story, I hope that it is that it coincides and that it aligns for those who need it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. All right, so let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So, me quitting. Like I said, this episode was kind of forced out. I had some other plans, some other things to come out, but it didn't. So, I'm not quite sure what the title is going to be, but me quitting is going to be somewhere in there. So, let's talk about what that means and why. So I several years ago, those of you who listened to the podcast for years, you know that I went through a very big health scare. I wasn't that upfront about it at the time. And it wasn't until afterwards that I shared what was going on. At the time that I was going through the health scare, there were different gaps in the podcast and everything. And then I announced that my recovery school, the Love Addiction Recovery School, which is the main way that I've helped women heal from love addiction through my coaching over the last, almost 7 years now, that I was closing that. But it was shifting to becoming a self-study course. I was enrolling the last cohort. And that's because behind the scenes, I was struggling very much with my blood pressure at the time. It was regularly in the 200s. I did not think that I was going to be here in the living world for much longer. So I was kind of just closing up shop. And so, you know, I've already shared on other episodes what happened and how I was able to recover and finally find the medical intervention and help that I needed. The lifestyle changes that I had already made weren't really applying because they were medical things that I needed, that just meditating wasn't fixing, right? And having more free time and cutting back on work, that my body was not well. So once I got that intervention, everything else started to fall into place. I started to recover. I brought back the recovery school, the group coaching program, part of the program, which was really great because I missed teaching and coaching and being with all the women there. And so did that for a while. And then somewhere at the end of last year, for those of you who don't know, I'm a therapist by trade. I'm a trained and licensed therapist, master's degrees in marriage and family therapy, and I've done a lot of things over the years. And so I transitioned from therapy into coaching by way of, you know, helping women on the ground here in Houston, which is where I'm based. And I'm telling you all these things for a reason. I'm recapping all this stuff for a reason. But by way of me building a really successful, I was very grateful therapy practice here, and then building this podcast, wanting to help women from around the world. And so I transitioned out of therapy into coaching full time and into doing this podcast and doing my coursework because I just really believed and saw that when you tell women what to do and you give them the process and the method, it just helps. You know, it helped expedite and accelerate so many different women's therapy process, help them understand the things that I talk about here on the podcast in a way that they hadn't heard it before and learned about it before. We've had lots of women, and actually one of the things that I recorded during this break was one of my recovery school students who, I say it all the time, and I'm still not good at sharing these testimonials, but I recorded a real testimonial podcast episode with her. She offered to come and talk about her experience. And one of the things that she shared was how, you know, she had been in therapy for years. She has a therapist that she really loves and enjoys, but just the methods and the things that we talk about here, she had listened to the podcast for years, taken notes, had her own notebook journals and everything, but getting into the program was something different. It really helped within a few months change everything. So that's why I transitioned from therapy into coaching and into programming, because I wanted to help as many people as possible. But somewhere near the end of last year, I started to miss the beauty that happens in the therapy room. So if you're doing this right, if you're actually following real like protocols and stuff, there is a real difference between when you see someone who's a therapist versus someone who's a coach. A coach is going to be very much, you know, what is the problem that we're tackling? What do you want to do about it? Here is my method. Here is where your roadblocks and your mindset problems are coming into play. Here's where I'm going to push you. Here's where I'm going to challenge you. They're really going to hold your feet to the fire while also directly encouraging you. But there's guidelines or structure around it. Where therapy is more open-ended. You can expect, if you find someone who's a really good fit, you can expect that for some of you, your therapists are going to be with you for years. That, yeah, sometimes we have therapists that are there for certain problems and certain issues, and we kind of either outgrow them or we solve the problem, we don't need to come anymore. And that's amazing. But most of us have therapists that are like our family physicians, right? Like we are going to them for years, if not decades, about all things, work, life, love, grief, marriages, divorces, children, miscarriages, like they are there for us through everything. And I miss that. I miss the slower approach that happens in therapy, the unfolding of it, the walking with women throughout their whole life journeys, you know, and, you know, I loved coaching, but also wanting to kind of missing whenever there was something that may come up in a coaching session that I'm like, oh, that's going to be better to be teased out and to have a slower process for their therapist. I started to feel sad saying, okay, well, that's something for you to work through with your therapist because I'm here. We can talk about it and I can give you my best next steps. And I always did. But I just knew that therapy would be better for them to build that safety in their body. So I started to miss that. And I said, okay, I want to bring back some therapy options. In addition to the one-on-one clients that I had already been seeing, I have some clients who would see me for just like a package and for a little bit or as an addendum to the recovery school. And I had some that ended up staying. So, we built a long-term coaching relationship. So I did that for the past year. For those of you who, some of you were on the mailing list, so you saw, that I had a call out for those who were in the Houston area, but then also the majority of my spots got taken by women who I already had a therapeutic relationship with, who were like, "Oh, you're back? Heck yeah. Like, let's get started." So I did that, and something happened, y'all. Or not something happened, but I learned something. Over even before I started Black Girls Heal, and other people who are therapists and clinicians and social workers and caseworkers, I'm sure many of you have had this experience or you can relate. When I would tell people what I do, or even my clients, we'll be in the middle of session, and after they've had like a really like big emotional release or breakthrough, or they've told me something that they feel like is really heavy, people will say, "I don't know how you do this. I can never do this. How do you not take this home with you? How do you not lose sleep at night? How do you not da 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 da?" And I did not ever really struggle with that, except for there were a couple cases where if the client looked like either my mother or my father, that wasn't gonna work. There was too much transference and countertransference for me to be neutral. So I would probably need to refer folks out and stuff. Like, those would be clients that would be very hard for me to leave at home, or people who might remind me of other people in my life that I'm not going to miss because folks listen to this podcast. But for the most part, whether or not it's something like deep and heavy, like suicidal ideations or sexual abuse or extreme bullying or estrangement or something like that, or just like really deeply felt childhood trauma and neglect and heartbreak and betrayal and addictions and all that stuff. Those are things that I loved working through with the people on the other side of my chair, on the other side of my office, or on the other side of the screen if we were doing it online. Never had a problem with it, but something happened this year. And I spent some time trying to think about it, y'all, because I was like, is this me getting burnt out again? I just did this whole thing where I shared that I was, not doing this program anymore back when I was talking about the recovery school. And then I had to close my therapy practice, but I closed the therapy practice before that stuff. And I just brought these women back on and like, what is happening? Like, let's see if this is your own personal stuff that's getting in the way. And so I took some time and was very gentle with myself and let myself peace and work through all the things and go through all the ups and downs. Is this my cycle? Is this the moon cycles for my star girlies out there? Is this like, because Pluto's been going through all his crap this year, like, is it something that's transiting? What's going on? Is this my guide or my spirit coming up? And so the last part is what I figured out that this was. After 15 years of doing this, of helping people with trauma, I think I'm finally starting to catch up with the heaviness of what it feels like to hold so many different energies every week. To hold space for folks and to be a conduit for them, and to help them on their next stage. And I think part of this is because there are so many other ways that I also help people. I'm writing the books. Book number one is done. Book number one, the cover is under production with my graphic designer. I have the Amazon summary written. There's one more run through with the copy editor. trying to do events and retreats. Y'all have asked about the retreats for a long time. You know, the workshops. I tried to bring back the text and circle community, the email. Like, there is a lot of ways that I give energetically, emotionally, spiritually, and just professionally to help women heal and work through trauma. And I think it's finally reached its max to where, okay, something needs to change, something needs to give. So with something needing to give, I didn't quite know what it was, hence the time, hence me repurposing some old podcast episodes, breaks and everything. And also what I feel like is a lot more radio silence from normal, not being online and on social as much, because I really just needed to take some time back. Y'all have heard me talk about the sabbatical. And so I knew I needed to quit. I just didn't know what. And the story that I wanted to share that I was hoping would be helpful for those who needed it is I've been in this part of my life one time before where I just knew something needed to change and I didn't have a very clear what's the next step. That next step was kind of hidden from me, but I just knew that I needed to change. For me, what it looked like is I was still working in the school system. I was a school counselor. I know that at a lot of different, places, schools in the United States especially, school counselors don't actually get to counsel as much as the title would suggest. A lot of times school counselors are doing more admin, a lot of testing, maybe some emergency resourcing, but for the most part, you don't really have a real caseload. You're more connecting kids to resources, at my school, I was at a charter school and I was very much a counselor, not only just a counselor, but very much a caseworker. And so not only connecting folks to resources and creating programming and everything, but I did have a regular set of sessions that I did. I was doing pa family and parents and, stuff with the staff. It was a whole lot of energy and output. And I really needed some more emotional support. The hours are very long. I didn't have enough breaks. I was going through PTSD because I was a flood survivor from the year before. Hurricane Harvey came in here to Houston. It wiped everything out. And then Hurricane Harvey came again. And now I'm also being charged to help other people. And I just needed a break. And I had asked the school for it. I tried to find other jobs as well to have some extra money and some other things, and nothing was really working out. And I had my private practice. I started seeing a few folks on the side then, just out of need for just more financial sustenance. And but it got to a place where my body, I kept trying to push myself to do everything because I loved my school. I loved my kids. I really appreciated the staff, even though some of my relationships with the staff started to break down for a lot of different reasons. But I know my mental health and anxiety wasn't really helping as well. And I just felt this obligation to be there, obligation not only to them, but also like you can't quit, or my own personal values of you have to have something else. You have to, I'm a planner. I am a firstborn daughter. I am someone who is very, I've always been very independent. I always have something else working. I'm not going to just pull the rug out under myself and not have something to stand on. But I got to a place emotionally, physically, and in hindsight, I can say spiritually, to where I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew I couldn't do this anymore. And so I quit. I quit without a real like plan of action to catch myself. I just knew that I had to let whatever was going to happen happen because I couldn't do it anymore. Because I knew if I kept going here, something bad was going to happen. That was going to be even worse than what I felt was already happened. I already felt like I wasn't doing a good job as much as I could with the school, with the kids, with everything else. I felt like I wasn't showing up as my best self. I felt like I was giving half energy, not even half energy. I was just running off of fumes. And I did not learn how to prioritize myself at that time. So finally just came to a place where I had to kind of pull a Hail Mary and just, stop. Thankfully, I've learned that lesson. I've learned how to prioritize myself. I've learned how to pay attention to the signs. I've learned how to get curious. And I've also learned the importance of sometimes taking a leap of faith and not knowing what's going to land and not knowing what's going to come next. So for me, the way that that looks like for me, BGH, is what I'm going to be quitting is my one-on-one services. So anything that was like private, my one-on-one support, coaching, my therapy clients, I ended up needing to discharge again. But the good thing about them and about our time together is like they are all such rock stars. And I feel like it was just so serendipitous the timing that I reached out to them and the things that they were going through, like everything is kind of already kind of wrapped up or is wrapping up, and they're entering a new stage and a new chapter after the one that we have worked through. So that's been very cool. But yeah, I need more space, y'all. I need more space because I do want to. I want to write more books. I want to put more pen to paper with all the things that I know that I've been teaching y'all over the years. I want y'all to have more access to those resources. I want us to have more group events. I think part of this is spiritually. I don't, because when I have my sessions with my folks and when I have group calls, it's not that talking about trauma and talking about heartbreak and talking about self-love and mother wounds and father wounds. That's not what's heavy for me. It is that I can only do so much. I've reached a point to where I only have capacity to do so much. And so I want to start to prioritize as having group events and us all being in the same place, as all being in the same room. I think that even kind of happened when I was supposed to do the father wound workshop actually this month. And it was going to be, at first, it was going to be a one-time workshop, but then I was like, okay, let's make it a container and work through it for a few weeks. Never came back to that because kind of the same thing. Like I just felt like so heavy, and it felt like it just wasn't clicking. And I felt like I was just putting so much energy in all these other places to where I wouldn't have the capacity to do that. But also, after I decided to pause on it, I was also like, I think me teaching online workshops too, I love it. I love that everyone can come no matter where you are, but I think it's time for us to start to meet together in person. I think that's what needs to be prioritized more. And so, I have a lot of other thoughts about that that I may or may not share before the end of this episode because I wrote notes. I'm like, you're not gonna share all the things because these things are still in flux. But I'm quitting parts of BGH so that we can build more here. And changing how I teach, changing what that looks like, and giving myself more capacity to teach in other places while also not destroying what, hopefully not destroying what we've built. So let's talk about how some other changes may be affecting here as well.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
As a winner of Apple Podcast Show of the Year, Code Switch is the sort of show that handles race and identity like you've never heard before. Regardless of what background you are, Code Switch knows that identity is part of every story. For anyone who is a fan of NPR programming like me, that always does a beautiful job of bridging incredible storytelling, intellectual conversations, and deep heart resonance, Code Switch does such a beautiful job of integrating all of these things while also talking about the real impact of race and culture in our everyday lives. When so much of the world talks about race in ways that feel either preachy or alienating, Code Switch is interested in how race and identity shape our world in real, sometimes funny, and sometimes confusing ways. From discussions with comedians about what makes a good race joke to how questions of identity swirl around reality TV, Dungeons and Dragons, and BBLs,
Code Switch guides us through all the different spaces that people of color live in and what it's like to navigate them. Code Switch doesn't just talk about race and identity in the abstract. It tackles real everyday questions like how to create boundaries with immigrant parents or tips to how to speak to family members whose ideas about race and culture may feel stuck in the past. From what James Baldwin can teach us about Israel to unpacking all the identity politics behind Kamala Harris's race for the presidency, to exploring the long history of sex testing and sports, Code Switch gets really real about the way that race and identity in the headlines can affect the way we think about race and identity at home. And I really like how sometimes they have a Q&A portion of the podcast. There's actually an episode that talks about whether or not bike lanes add to gentrification, which me living in Houston, Texas, which is known for not being a city that's great about public access to transportation and ease of it being walkable, conversations like this are top of mind for me. And what does it mean to give equitable access to everyone who needs it? Each new episode of Code Switch feels like an intimate letter to the ways that race and identity are always connected and how our lives, no matter who we are, is made richer by thinking through them. Listen now to Code Switch from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever feel like you are too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Everything is pre-measured, pre-portioned, and easy to prepare. Plus, Sunbasket meals are dietitian approved, so you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table. Sunbasket makes it so easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto friendly, gluten free, diabetes friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. And you've already heard me share my personal love for the hearty portions that made sure I left each Sunbasket meal feeling full and satisfied. There is something for every health journey, and it's so easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. So go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. So in addition to eliminating one-on-one support in order to have more space to write books and do maybe more in-person things. I know so many of y'all have asked about the retreats. I've finally spoken with a company that I really trust and that I like and that have some really good locations for us to possibly go to. So there will be some info about that, but I really want us, I'm going to say it. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. You know, people talk about evil eye and putting things out there and stuff. But something, and also could change my mind, you know, so y'all just take this with a grain of salt. I would love to have it so that Black Girls Heal has like regular local workshops. So instead of there just being, you know, the recovery school, which is not going away, by the way, I'm making it so that it's a true 90-day program that everyone can do and preserving the integrity of it. But I have in my mind, and I don't have all the pieces together, but I have in my mind this kind of vision, this dream of us building this healing community where every month we come together and I teach a lesson or I teach something that y'all can take into your everyday lives at home, right? So whether or not it's pieces and components of what I talk about here on the podcast or even in the recovery school, but we're doing it hands-on for about, you know, two to three hours once a month for y'all to take that and share with your friends or bring your friends and us all work. There's like really to build a true healing community or maybe quarterly just to make sure that I'm not burning myself out as far as capacity again and allowing myself enough time to write because we see how long it's taken for me to finish these books that at first I was very confident, like, oh, I'm going to knock those things out. But apparently it takes a lot to write books, at least the way that I write books. I know that there are probably some writers who that is not a struggle that you have. But for me, getting it out, making it feel like it's coherent and that everyone can receive takes a lot of effort. And so But yeah, that just sounds to me incredible to be able to touch people, for them to be able to touch each other, to hold someone's hand, to reach across and give them a tissue if they start to cry, to laugh with them, for there to be twerk breaks in the middle of our learning. Like for us to come together as Black women, as women, that's what rings in my mind. It almost makes me emotional just thinking about it. So all that to say, I gave that story about pulling the cord and quitting without having a plan B, because I don't have that right now. I don't have it already going is what I mean. I don't have it to where that's already something that's working, something that I hope to build, and something that I'm open for. I'm open to alternatives. But I know that the way that I've been teaching the collective is changing, is shifting. And so that's what I'm quitting. I'm quitting the ways that no longer, I think, fit for this stage. And that's not to say, it's not to say like I might not every once in a while say, hey, I'm opening up spots for one-on-ones for an afternoon or so. So first come, first serve. Or maybe one day, before this, I was playing around in my mind the concept about therapeutic intensives, therapeutic VIP days, where we could come together, we could do some, some practices that are approved to do in one day with some aftercare support, but just you come together, we go through your whole history in your life and create a recovery plan, maybe do some EMDR, do some things in person. Like, so I've thought about that. Right now, I don't have the capacity to do that. Not even time-wise, just like, I feel like that would be so much for me to do. But yeah, that is what I'm quitting. As far as the podcast will still be here. I will probably be playing around with what it looks like as far as the topics, especially now that I'm doing this on video. That's another reason why there is a gap. This takes a lot for me to do a video podcast. It used to be nothing for me to be able to pull out my mic, in the middle of working through things with my son or in between clients or, unshowered to go and record a 50-minute episode about trauma, relationships, and love addiction. Coming and making sure that there's sunlight or that my lights are on or that, I don't have food in my teeth, editing this takes a whole lot. But I strongly feel like in this next chapter, connecting and y'all being able to see me, y'all being able to have that tangible asset, if you care to have it. Some people don't care about video podcasts. I know a lot of y'all do. This feels like this is how I'm being called to teach y'all, to connect with y'all, to show up for y'all. So I didn't, just repurpose an old audio podcast or talk about something else on audio, because this is how I feel like I'm supposed to be here, at least for now. And if or when that changes, y'all know I'll change it. But for right now, this is where I feel like I'm being called. So the podcast is staying the same. I'm still doing video. What that looks like as far as topics and frequency, that might shift. Actually, the topics are not going to change. Frequency as far as putting this on. But I hope to continue to do weekly, especially now that I said out loud what's been in my mind. Maybe it'll continue to flow like it was before. And the recovery school. So the recovery school, that was probably the hardest part, because I was like, the capacity needs to change for that too. Because for the recovery school, for years, there's always been monthly coaching. Most of the time, it's been like bi-monthly. So two group calls where we go for hours every month, and me answering questions and going deeper with women and staying until the questions are answered. So whether or not I'm going deep in with one woman for 30 minutes or so, or answering so lots of people's questions within a 2.5-3 hour time span, just being there for everyone, however they need me. But that is the other thing that I feel like is coming to a close. So when I was doing cohorts, The last cohort, last 6-month cohort was in June or July was our last enrollment. So this December is going to be the last time that I'm doing group calls. What does that mean? That means that the recovery school is still available. Like there's no, y'all, there's literally no way I can get rid of the recovery school, because when I tell you I've put every single thing that I know for how to help women heal from love addiction and love avoidance and love deprivation and trauma into that program and into all the smaller programs that come with it, to get rid of it would be insanity. Insanity. There are so many women who've gone through this program who have never said hello to me, but they're doing it on their own, and they'll come back and tell me how much it has helped them, even though they're too nervous to share at the group calls or in the group community. So I know the program works, even if you're not, you know, talking with me every week. So the program is going to stay. But I'm making sure, you know, I have my assistant go through all the videos to tell me to, like, where are the places that I've referenced coming to the community, coming to Circle and other places, to make sure that I'm re-recording the lessons, that I fill in any and all gap questions and materials that are needed for someone who's doing this on their own, to make sure that they get all the support that they need. Because again, I already know that it works. But just to make sure that anyone who's like, man, I've been wanting to join the recovery school, but it's because I wanted to have access to Sheena. Sheena's going to be there, and I'm going to build in all this stuff, or all the stuff is already built in, but I'm going to rewatch and go through it to make sure that that is as legit as I already know that it is. So yeah, but I'm mentioning that now because, similar to several years ago, for anyone who is joining during this time, you will have full access to the community and to the group calls through December. Those who join now and who have already been a part of the program, the alumni community, which is where I help people, and I am available to answer questions. I am available to check in. There is a peer community for other folks to encourage you and everything. You will also have forever access to that. So if anyone who has been interested in joining the recovery school, I would suggest for you to check it out. Check out to see if the investment is a part of your budget. Even if you checked it out before, I strongly encourage you to check it out again, especially because for those who will be joining between now and November 1st, the code I'm about to give you expires on November 1st. If you enter the code new student, it will take 25% off the investment that is there and all the payment plan options as well. So, and like I said, you'll have forever access to the alumni peer community, which also I'm a part of, and then also our group calls through the holidays, which is such an important time of year. So that's what I have for now. For those of you who've been listening to hear when these retreats are, the retreats will be coming probably not until 2025, though, near the end, as I coordinate with the companies, or early 2026. But in the meantime, I do have plans for our first weekend together, the week before Valentine's Day. I've been going back and forth about announcing this too, because I was like, do I call it the Healed and Loved Woman Retreat, or do I call it something else? But the week before Valentine's Day, we're going to have our first Lover Girl weekend. I think that's what I'm going to call it. I was going, that's such a cute name. Should I call it that? Yeah, we're going to call it that. We're going to have our first Love the Girl weekend, Love a Girl workshop, where we're going to meet here in Houston, Texas, to dig into these things, to talk about life, love, for you to leave with your recovery plan. Anyone who's ever done any of my workshops in person, any of my programs, you know I don't play about that. And you know that we make sure that you have every single thing that you need. If you have ever felt like anything that I teach here is practical and applicable to your life and something that you can take notes on, then the workshops are on steroids. And anything that is not covered, we always have Q&As to make sure that you leave with exactly what you need. And so, yeah, y'all know I love Valentine's Day. That's always going to be my jam. Valentine's Day and Christmas. So Yeah, the week before Valentine's Day, we're having a Lover Girls weekend. You can learn more about that weekend and save your seat for the early bird investment as a reward, because details are still pending. You'll just see the date. So it's going to be that Saturday. I can tell you right now. It's going to be Saturday, February 8th. And so that people can fly in and fly out if you need to, we're going to make it from 12 to 4. So it's going to be like a midday workshop, 5 at the latest if we go very late, so that you can fly in and fly back out and go home and not have to worry about hotels. Or if you're here in the Houston area or in Texas or any other place, you can drive in and drive back out. But yeah, we're going to have our Love a Girl workshop about all things Love of Girls and helping us prioritize ourselves, center ourselves, and have the relationships that we want romantically, friendship wise, and healing our trauma. So that's what we're going to do. And I look forward to those of you who will be joining me on that day. But that's it for now, y'all. I'm going to go. Thank you for rocking with me. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for any patience that you may have in case the title that I end up putting on here is kind of a shock value title. Hope I didn't scare you that much. I'm still here. And I just appreciate all of your encouragement. You know, anytime I have folks that reflect back to me, everything that I put out there and gratitude for it, you know, I would do it anyways because it's what I feel like I'm here for. But I just always want to say thank you. Oh my God, this made me cry earlier. And I'll say this and then I'll close. For all of you who, oh God, this is going to make me cry. Okay. Whew. Okay. Okay, let's pause the video.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I think I'm a little bit together. I'm still tearing up, but I really want to say a big thank you to all the fellow healers out there who listen to this podcast for yourself, but also for those of you who got a message today, or I saw a message today where someone was telling me how their professor assigned them to listen to this podcast as part of their curriculum and how they found it really helpful. And I've had other people say that they're like student interns, student therapists, or other folks who their supervisors have really encouraged them to listen to this podcast. And talk about highest compliment from other fellow healers. So just thank you to all of you for being here, for trusting me with, oh God, that was not supposed to happen. For trusting me to be a part of your healing life, and also trusting me with the people that you are training to be the newer healers. As always, take what you need, leave the rest. And I hope that there are some things that I share here that are helpful for you, helpful for your future clients, and for your families and your loved ones. So thank you, y'all. And I look forward to what's to come. Oh, for those of you who want to join the Recovery School, sorry. You can go to therecoveryschool.com and enter the code NEWSTUDENT. And if you're interested in the Lover Girl workshop, you can go to blackgirlsheal.org/events. All right, let me go fix my face, y'all. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you in the next one. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.